Weekend.
Couple of weeks ago, on a Sunday morning at 2 or 3:20 a.m. in California, an earthquake known as the South Napa earthquake damaged and devastated many of the wineries in the Napa Valley and Sonoma Valley that are really intrinsic to the success of the wine business in our country, Carl. We have on the line Juliana McBride, and I thank her very much for joining us. Juliana, you and your husband, I believe, Sean, are proprietors of the Crosby Roman Winery in Napa. Tell me a little bit about your winery first, and then let's talk about the earthquake.
Sure. Thank you for having us on the program. Our winery we're very small and very boutique. We make under 1,000 cases, and we make AVA designate wines just from Napa. And our wine is distributed in New York as well as other parts of the country. And the earthquake was devastating to many small wineries like ourselves. We had been temporarily storing our wines at a facility in South Napa called Napa Barrel Care that just wasn't structurally sound, and the barrels were just a complete mess.
What did you lose?
We lost about 10% of our 2012 and 2013 production.
Can you give me the specifics of that production? Was it a Chardonnay? Was it a Cabernet? What would it be?
Sure. We lost some Chardonnay from the 2013 production, and we lost some Oaknoll District Merlot from the 2012. Oh.
Hi, this is Carl. So I have to sneak in. Anytime anyone loses a Merlot, there's a tear in my eye.
Thank you. I'm glad you're a Merlot supporter.
Juliana, take us back to that moment at 3:20 a.m. on Sunday. What did you feel? What was it like?
You know, I was at home with my family, and it was incredibly violent. I had never experienced small earthquakes, tremors, living in San Francisco, but never anything like this before. And you wake up, and it's very, very scary and very, very loud, and everything is crashing down, and you think the world is ending. And immediately you sort of come to as you wake up, and you think, oh, my God, this is an earthquake. And my first thought was, this is the big one. This is happening in San Francisco. I'm terrified about, you know, how my family and friends are doing. And then, you know, as you start to process, you realize, you know, and you go online and you look. We looked on our phones and we thought, oh, this happened in American Canyon. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very scary. There was glass everywhere. I mean, our home looked like somebody had come with a baseball bat.
Mm.
And we went to get our kids in their beds and brought them back in ours. And thankfully, everybody was safe.
And it's probably after you realize that everybody is safe that you then think about, what about the barrels of wine?
Right. Well, we have a personal cellar at home, and that was pretty much, that took a beating as well.
What about your neighbors and fellow wine growers? Did other ones suffer a greater damage than you guys did?
You know, I can't speak to other wineries exactly. I know that at Napa Barrel Care, there are many other wineries that have been storing their barrels there. And there was a real spirit of collaboration in terms of recovering what we could and finding barrels and working together, because it was slow and it was dangerous. First, they had to pump out the wine, and it was a river of wine, and then it's still going on. It's still ongoing. We were somewhere in the middle. Our barrels had been somewhere in the middle of the process, and so luckily our part has been recovered and taken care of, but it's still ongoing.
I understand the physical structures and the damage that they receive, but has anybody looked at, and maybe you know the answer to this question, does an earthquake damage the roots of the vine, of the grape plant?
You know, I don't think anyone, I haven't heard anything about that happening, but yeah, that's definitely a very, very good question for a viticulturalist.
Well, let's hope not, because I'm going to suspect you offer a lovely bottle of wine. I'm going to ask a wine question. What have your reserve picks for this particular year? Do you have anything you're offering out to our listeners in terms of what you think the best of the grape is this year?
Well, you know, this vintage is shaping up to be pretty incredible. We're harvesting earlier than we ever have in the past. Our Sauvignon Blanc came in last week, and it's looking really good. So I would love for the listeners to check out our website. It's crosbyroman.com, and order up and support us. It's a wonderful time to support your favorite small Napa Valley wineries.
Oh, go ahead, Roland.
I'm
getting into wine here, as they say.
I love it. I mean, Carl is a wine connoisseur, and I am certainly one who consumes.
You follow up closely in the rear, as they say.
But Juliana, you are what you would call a boutique winery. Is that correct?
Yes.
Would you explain to our listeners what a boutique winery means?
Sure. A boutique winery is just a winery that's very small production. So we don't actually own any of the land, so we work with growers across the Napa Valley, and we do block and row contracts in different vineyards. So we purchase the grapes, and we bring them to a winery, and we press them, and we're about as small as you can get. Most mid-sized wineries are definitely around 10,000 cases. And we make under 1,000 cases.
And now you must have a what do you call the person who blends the wine to create what do you call Crosby Roman wines?
Well, you know, that Sean is my husband is our winemaker.
Uh-huh.
So he's involved in it's incredibly hands-on. I mean, we say that we make handmade wines because our hands do literally touch every step of the process. So it's definitely a Burgundian style that we work in, but he is our winemaker.
Well, you know, my grandmother in Greenwich Village was a bootlegger back in the 20s, and their wine you could probably run a jet engine on today. However, looking at the grapes of this year, are we going to have a good year in general? Do you have a good year coming out of the Napa Valley?
We have a great year coming out of the Napa.
Wonderful. I'm so delighted to hear that. And do you have any picks for us in terms of, in general, what's going to be the pick of the grape this year? In general, other than what you're producing at the Crosby Roman Winery, and we'll talk once again about how people can get in touch with you and your distribution. But anything in general that's looking favorable this year?
You know what? We're really excited. About the Cabernet. I mean, Cabernet is definitely the banner grape for Napa.
Oh, my, yes, yes.
But yes. We're very excited about our Cabernet this year, which is coming from Pritchard Hill.
Is that going to be your reserve bottles coming out?
Some will be part of the reserve program, definitely, and some will be part of the regular Cabernet.
The effect of the earthquake probably will not be felt for 2 or 3 years. Is that correct?
You mean in terms of pricing?
In terms of wine production.
Yes, it'll definitely be a couple of years because we barrel age, and most of the wineries, you know, barrel age and hold the wines before they're released. So you definitely won't see these wines in the market for at least 2 years.
Well, Ronald, this sounds like a visit out to the Crosby. We're coming. We'll take a private tour.
Yeah. Juliana McBride, thank you very much for spending some time with us on Smith Sabatino. We're very sorry for the experience that you went through, but thank you for sharing part of that. And again, your website is what?
Our website is Crosby, Crosby, Roman, Roamann.com.
Well, I know I'm tuning in, Carl.
So am I.
All right.
You will have. You already got two people will be tuning into your website and ordering, I suspect.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Bye
bye.
This is for those of us who did the Napa Valley tour, and to our listeners out there, it's one of the great tours out of San Francisco, and go to that magnificent city. Napa happens to be a beautiful city. It's absolutely gorgeous.
And the whole region
is just stunning.
is magnificent up there.
When you come into the valley, though, there is the Inglenook at the top of the hill, and that starts it off. Everything after the Inglenook Winery, and it is a wonderful tour for those of us who love wine and promote American-based wine. And I'm so delighted that you said they're having a good year. One thing about wine growers, they will tell you if they're not having a good year. They're very candid about that. This is going to be an exceptionally good year because of the water situation. The wine does not like too much water.
You have my address at home. I just want to make, I mean, Christmas is coming up.
And a case is on its way.
And I'm sure that with your prowess in the understanding of the grape,
there will be
a nice selection underneath my tree.
I promise. Carl Sabatino waiting for that selection for Roland. This is Smith Sabatino. And Chris is smiling. We're back.
America Weekend. Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. What's the number one mistake many people make when it comes to the stock market? Well, here's the social science of it. You know, buy low, sell high, but the research shows that all too often people do the opposite. They buy stocks that are rising and sell those that have fallen. Why? When investors don't know what to do, they irrationally follow the crowd. People trade on rumors, and it doesn't matter if these rumors are right or wrong. We assume any trend we're seeing will continue, and chances are it will not. Does the real estate bubble kind of come to mind here? So what's the cheap psychological trick? Like Mom said, evaluate trends carefully. Just because everyone else is jumping off the building doesn't mean you should too. Take the stairs. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with the final verdict. John Fisher, a Catholic school PE teacher, lost his job when two 12-year-old female students branded him a perv and spread false rumors about him. After being cleared of the allegations, Fisher sued the girls for both compensatory and punitive damages. So what happened at the trial? The final verdict after this.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Dial 877-219-8780.
Defamation victims can receive compensatory damages for lost wages and benefits. Punitive damages are intended to punish the defendants. Since the girls acted with malice, the jury awarded John Fisher a considerable amount in both categories. And that's the final verdict.